This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Bloch. Jean-Dominique Bauby, the editor of French Elle magazine, was 43 years old when he suffered a massive stroke. It left him paralyzed, able to move only his left eye. And that tiny portal became Bauby's means of communication. The therapist at his hospital came up with a system. She would read through letters of the alphabet. Bauby would blink when she came to the letter he wanted to spell out his message. And bit by excruciating bit, by blinking, he dictated a book about his experience titled The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. That book is now a movie. In this scene, we hear Bauby's therapist trying out the letter system for the first time.
E, S, A, R, I, N, T, U, L.
And we hear what Bauby is thinking. Hurry up.
G.
The first part of the movie is seen completely from Bauby's immobilized perspective. We see only what he sees, and it's dizzying to watch. Faces dart in and out of the frame, images blur. His eye has become the camera's lens. Director Julian Schnabel says even capturing the blinks required a lot of thought.
Because there are many different kinds of blinks. First you do it, and then, you know, as you're trying to make it real, you know, it's not just a shutter closing that's black. And then you're seeing a scene. When people are in the sun, red comes through your skin when you're blinking. Sometimes you're blinking, you're not really closing your eyes for very long, so it just seems to, like, jar the image. It doesn't really eradicate the image. And so basically there's more than 50 different kind of blinks. And until you start making a movie about a guy blinking, you don't really notice that. You just think the word blink means blink.
The way we experience what Jean-Dominique Bauby is seeing at the beginning of the film, you know, when he cries, the image gets blurry. At one point, a friend comes and puts a furry hat on his head, and he must push it down too far so you see sort of the edge of the fur at the top of the screen. How are you shooting this? What were you doing technically?
I took my hat and stuck it on top of the camera.
And just put it down over the lens a bit.
Yes. And I used a swing and tilt lens, which is a lens that has rubber in it, and you can make it more focused in one place and more out of focus in another at the same time. And, you know, if you notice the way you see, everything isn't always perfectly in focus everywhere in your frame. I mean, that looks like a magazine. It doesn't look like life.
How did you decide when would be the right time to move that camera away, take the image not just from his viewpoint, not just from his eye looking out, but to show the audience the whole person?
I think you need to go into his world in order to get out of his world. And he said that the only way that he could escape his diving bell was through his imagination and his memory. And those were the only two things that weren't paralyzed besides his left eye. So after he's had this sort of calamity of disappointments, I thought, okay, he can either stay in that body and just rot there, or he can do something with himself. And what he did is he created a job for himself. He decided he was going to write this book. He had a contract to write a book, and the writing of the book by blinking his eye is really the achievement. And what happened is he made this book, and it's like a baton that he handed off to Claude Mandeville, who then handed it off to us, and now we're the recipient of this person who reported back from a place where no one had ever done before.
Claude Mandeville is the woman who's hired to essentially translate the blinking of Jean-Dominique Bauby through this system of decoding letters that he's hearing and then blinking when he hears the one that he wants, translating that into words and then into this book.
Absolutely. And there's a scene in the movie where the first moment he meets her, he's lying in bed, and she walks into the room, and he says to her, pas de panique, which means don't panic. And I think that if you're going to try to seduce a woman and you're absolutely paralyzed and she's perfectly healthy, that's kind of a funny thing to say.
This scene is remarkable because he's communicating at this point through his speech therapist, and what had begun as a very laborious process of her reading these letters and waiting for him to blink at the right one, it's become like second nature. And let's listen to just a little bit.
E-S-A-R-I-N-T-U-L-O-M-D-P. E-S-A-R-I-N-T-U-L-O-M-D-P.
It's wonderful to listen to, and it's really become its own language there.
Thank you for playing that. It was very sweet. I didn't expect to hear that. But I must say that I decided to make this movie in French because, first of all, he was a French author in a French hospital in France, and I'd sort of be damned if French people were going to have to read French subtitles. Once I heard these women in France delivering the alphabet with their beautiful voices, it was very comforting to me, and I think to the audience, to Jean Do, and just as an element of the film, it was something that I was very happy to find out.
You filmed the movie at the hospital on the French Channel coast, where Jean-Dominique Bobby spent the last months of his life. Why was it important, do you think, for you to do that?
I couldn't have made the movie any other place. Everything was there. It was like having my own studio there. If at 3:30 the light was right in a couloir, in a corridor, I could stop shooting there and go to this other part of the hospital. If I saw the tide come in 500 meters or knew when it was going to come in, I could take the stanchion that was on the beach and put his wheelchair on top of it, and then it looked like he would be sitting in the water in the middle of the sea in his wheelchair. And when somebody says that they're on the far edge of life, that's a pretty good approximation of that. And the landscape was probably one of the protagonists of the whole film. I mean, nature, the landscape, the hospital, the compassion that the first person you see is his nurse, his real nurse, Virginia. And what was really nice is that when people from other hospitals saw the movie, they thought this movie should be in all hospitals, and that doctors and nurses and patients could see this and it would encourage them and make them feel like there was possibility of communicating. And that I didn't bargain for. I didn't realize that. But I made this movie because I figured if I told this story, I could actually help somebody else, and I could help myself, because I think it's extremely optimistic. I think it's life-affirming, and you realize that you can actually do something if you have an interior life, that it's a wonderful thing to have, and that people can have all their faculties be perfectly healthy and not be alive at all. But if you're conscious, that is, I think consciousness is life.
Julian Schnabel, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Julian Schnabel is director of the film The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.